Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike and this is Tammy.
Hi everybody.
How's it going, Tam?
It's good. How's it going with you?
Nice day. Cold, freezing, cold. March 18th. Coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada on this gorgeous March 18th, 2024. Coming right up, it is the Book of Acts, chapter 26. And you know, people ask, like, what's the point of last chapters of the Book of Acts? Like, it's just Paul tied up in the courts. That's the point of it. Mankind's way of ruling ourselves, governing ourselves from the law courts is just nothing but bureaucratic.
Bureaucracy.
Just corruption. Yeah. Just absolute corruption. If there's money involved, someone could pay money and it goes to lobbying or just, you know, the backroom deals and all those briberies and everything else.
Well,
this
and
is
how
what
long,
goes on.
How long it takes. I mean, if something goes to court, it takes so long because they just want that justice system to keep drawing in the money.
Well, they just ask Paul. He's been in the bucket for 2 years here.
Yeah.
And then a new guy rolls in, Festus, takes over for Felix. And he's like, hey, there's someone left behind here for years, right? Why? What's going on? There's always follow the money.
And there's no charges.
No charges. 26, Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa, who's the king, said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Paul stretched forth his hand, right? Okay, this is a gesture, right? Not the gesture I might use, but anyways. Verse 2, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself today before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Paul's saying, hey, listen, man, I don't need a greasy lawyer to cast doubt on the truth, or like what I used to say when I get in trouble. Hey, I want a lawyer. I want to hire you. But I don't want a lawyer that's too honest to hurt my case. You know what I'm saying? But this is Paul. He's got nothing to hide. The truth will always be there in the background. It just gets smokescreened and you get stung with lies. And that's what's going on here in the Book of Acts. And we watch it playing out on a world stage today. The whole world is jammed up because of legalities. Mankind's legal systems. Mankind has a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves, period. And just look at the world stage today. That's what God's trying to teach us right now. But people just kick against the pricks, and we're going to read about that here in chapter 26. Okay, so here's Paul. I'm accused of the Jews. That's the lead clergy and their followers. That's who he's talking about. The churchy church of the day. Accused. Accused of what? Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. Well, he's giving it up for Agrippa, right? In a couple spots here. Like Agrippa was part of the churchy church. He was in the congregation. He knew. He would sit there and listen to the laws being taught, and he knew the customs and everything else. And then along comes Paul. So this is very interesting. Very interesting. So Paul gives it up for him, saying, you know their customs, and we're going to talk about what they've added and what they've taken away, and we're also going to talk about how they lobby. Here we have a Jewish lobby here. And today, the government is called the Israel lobby of the Assyrian. And we know who the Assyrian is today. The most dangerous, destructive, destabilizing force on planet Earth in the Bible imports today to, obviously, the United States of America. And it's just so sad. They just go around, what's the official Pentagon report? They've dropped over 400,000 bombs and missiles since 2001. That's inexcusable at any level of humanity. And where's that money being driven through lobbying, through military-industrial complex? We have to drop bombs on people. Let's villainize our Arab brothers and villainize the Quran. And they don't even know what they're talking about. First, if I mention the Quran there and the Bible, like I have to all the time. There's no such thing as an English Bible. No such thing. There's no such thing as an English Quran. These are translations. That's why I take the time, full time, to go back into the manuscripts, and I study the Quran also. And you would be absolutely fascinated how it sinks. Not from scraps of information that major media has fed to us to villainize these people. You can weaponize the Quran, and what they do with the Bible? They sugarcoat it, which is just as bad as weaponizing it. They slander it. It's the most least translatable books into the English. That's where we go back to the manuscripts, through the lexicons, and we take those keywords and run threads through the Bible from the etymology of the keywords to the lexicons. Anyways, here we go. So we're talking about Jews and their customs, and that's the churchy church of the day. Please be patient with me. I know these guys are paying you off. My manner of life from my youth, which was at first my own nation at Jerusalem, I know all the Jews. Hey, listen, man, I grew up with these guys. I know them all. I was born in Cilicia. I forget how to pronounce it.
Cilicia.
Cilicia, right? So I'm a Roman citizen. But my daddy was, my old man was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. I grew up with these guys, okay? They know me. That's what he's saying here. Which knew me from the beginning of, they would testify, yeah, but they won't, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. Yeah, I was a stiff just like those guys. And now I stand and judged for the hope of the promise made our God unto our fathers. Here's some of the worst translated verses here. I'm going to read through them. Unto which promises our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. What a terrible translation. It's actually, you know what? It's good that they translated it so poorly. Because it tells us, hey, there's a problem here. Right? We have to go back. This is not a Bible. This is a translation of a Bible. We have to go back into the manuscripts and through lexicons. The original language words are fixed words. It's a fixed language. Okay, so here, let's take this word hope, which doesn't belong here at all, and put the word trust in. Because we trust the promises made of God unto our fathers, written in the councils of eternity, I might add, which unto, and the word promises added here, they gave to the 12 tribes earnestly, serving God day and night, trust to come. We trust these promises are going to come, they're going to come to pass. And we saw most of this Bible's already come to pass anyway. For which trust's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews, because there's a salvation. It's called Yeshua Messiah. That's what he's teaching. There's life after death. Obviously, we know that. We came from somewhere, we're going somewhere. There's going to be a great separation of people, and that's what Paul's saying here. Now watch Paul's heart. He just pours it out. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. In other words, what he's saying here, this word hope is elpizazo, and it means a full trust in salvation, in God's promises written in the councils of eternity. He wants us all to be together. And that's what he's wanting. Okay, we'll get more into this. It's Paul's not villainizing anybody. He wants everybody. This is how you pray for your enemies. This is a lesson here. He's praying for everyone. I hope everybody can just drop their ideologies and submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, is what's being said here. Because it was written through Moses, through David, and all the Psalms, and through all the prophets. Emmanuel, God with us, he's going to show up on the scene. Right? One had to die for our sins that did not sin. We could say, like, you come to terms with it like this. Like me and Tammy talk about this. Well, I can forgive Tammy, right? Every time she has a little temper tantrum and makes a scene. I forgive Tammy, right? We always consider human frailty. But nobody can forgive. Like truly forgive at a judicial level. That will allow you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. Only one can do that. Jesus Christ. First and foremost in importance in the universe. Most precious, irreplaceable, as it's written, Psalms 22, Psalms 35, most precious, irreplaceable in the universe. Walked amongst us, Emmanuel, God with us, for one reason only, to walk into a torture chamber, to have Satan, who is created in the full pattern of beauty and wisdom in the highest supernatural order. He, smarter than Daniel the prophet, hyper-focused sin on the Lord Jesus Christ, hyper-focused temptation. None of us could have handled it. We're all sinners. We're all the ones that fell anyway. When they talk about the original sin, I just cringe. We sinned back in the first age. Quit trying to put it on Adam and Eve. We're here for a reason. We are the one-third that sinned. We fell out of harmony with the universe. We're in a fallen condition now. Adam and Eve was for an example. That's why it said God formed Adam. That means purposed. I purposed my salvation ministry to start here. There was millions of people before Adam and Eve. Sixth-day man. By the time we get to Adam and Eve, we're on the eighth day. So you count. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Anyways, we're talking about salvation. Our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. He paid a price for us. One had to die that did not sin. No guile, no malice, no corruption was found in him. One had to do that. Walk amongst us. So we could say, Satan, you got nothing on me. And none of us can say, Jesus Christ, you don't know what it was like. It was so hard down there. Oh my God, it was just brutal. Like all the temptation. He walked it. Beyond our comprehension, he was tempted. And he did it for us. He laid down his life for you. And for me, he traded his life for you, for us. And he paid a price called redemption. Only he can save you. That's the most important thing in Christianity. But you have to know him. And that's what this is he's saying. You know, which for hope's sake, trust's sake, what should it be thought, I'm on verse 8, should it be thought a thing incredible unto you that God should raise from the dead? He's saying this to Agrippa. He's saying, you guys believe in life after death, obviously, because we came from somewhere, that God executes performances far beyond our current understanding of physics. Obviously, what do we know? We've been reduced and restricted in these flesh bodies. We don't know nothing. To pass through the matrix once born innocent of woman, average person gets 100 years or less. To come to terms with what's inside of you that's not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. Think about infinity forward and this little vapor of time as it's written in the book of James. And so many people are all about themselves right now. And it's the saddest thing. We pray for them. We pray for the whole human family. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to acknowledge what he did, the most selfless act of love and compassion the universe has ever witnessed. It's hard to even comprehend what he did for us. Crowning point of Christianity, Calvary at the cross. Prophecy became in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with reality. And that's what Paul's saying here. I verily thought with myself, I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Who translated this? Who cares? Let's just do it properly here. I was taught by Gamaliel that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He went after Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Which things I did also in Jerusalem, he was taught to do this. And everyone puts Gamaliel up on a pedestal. Let me tell you something. I have less than zero respect for Gamaliel. Whoopee-doo. This is the book he memorized, okay? Not memorized, not even. We just go from Matthew back. See, so there. That's what he did, and he distorted it to hate Lord Jesus Christ. He would have to ignore massive amounts of prophecy. This Gamaliel. And people say, oh, the great Gamaliel. Well, I don't think he was too great at all. Who do you think signed all these? We'll talk about this right now. We're going to talk about this. Okay, so which I also did in Jerusalem and to many of the saints, I did shut in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, the church. That's what the churchy church is doing, trying to kill the truth, right? And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Ooh, authority from the chief priests. That would have included Gamaliel, by the way. And I punished them often in every synagogue. I just walked in there and just destroyed the place. Compelled them to blaspheme. You know, I tried to make them stop. You know, I tried to beat the truth out of them. Remember, that's in the book of Revelation. You're not going to get physically beat back here. Oh, yeah, you're getting shit kicked. There's no doubt about it. But now, they just try and get the truth out of you by mocking you and trying to get you to doubt yourself, humiliate you in front of others. And always remember, the closer you get to God and your society down here, the moral decay of society, the closer you get to God, there's a huge disconnect that will happen. You're going to feel it. Don't worry about it. Jesus Christ has your back. We pray for these people on their moral slide. Morals is a benchmark for human virtue and human values. We see it going down, but we're up here. That's why there's a huge disconnect, and you watch it. Their spirit hates our spirit. You watch them pucker up and get angry. You can see them glowing at you. Don't worry about it. The Bible tells us all things. They will hate you. And it's not just a hate. It's sane in the Hebrew. It's a personal hatred, and we're living it. We pray for everybody. We don't hate back. We pray for them. Hey, man. And as far as the affairs of time are concerned, it's only going to be a few minutes. And you're going to be walking the highway of hell, running your mouth. That's the wailing and gnashing of teeth with everybody else that thought they knew better, that thought they knew what heaven was supposed to be like. I knew better. I'm going to tell you who I think God should be. You can run your mouth like that for an eternity because there's no praise or presence of God whatsoever down there because you think you are God. And we pray for you. Let those ideologies go, those deeply ingrained habits of thought that you people can't get over because of their ego. And here's the truth right here. The truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is the living word. He is the author of eternal salvation. This is what Paul's trying to tell him. While Paul's on the hot seat, all of us would have folded like a cheap lawn chair on this hot seat. We're no Paul, but we can still try our best, right? We don't back down, especially from the truth. So he received, this is Paul. He was tripping around, punishing them in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them. Like he felt it. Burning emotion. Paul had the burning emotion inside. I persecuted them even in strange cities. Dude, I would trip around and just go for it. You a Christian? Come with me. Yeah, you're going to jail. You might even get a death sentence. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. That would have included Gamaliel. That's their commission. What's our commission? Jesus Christ gave our commission to plant the seeds of truth throughout the world, to spread the message of life of Christ's love throughout the world, to try to magnify, glorify, and broadcast God's saving word to a hurting world. That's our commission. Whatever spot you have in the many-member body of Christ, you have to fulfill it. That includes supporting your preacher, teacher. That includes getting the word out there. I'll use Shepherd's Chapel for an example. Me and Tammy were talking about this morning. 1996, I was laying there on a couch, 3 in the morning, right? There's a black and white TV there. I don't even watch the damn thing. You know, it had, like, the aerial coming up, fuzzy TV, just staring at the ceiling, not in a good spot. I had to look up to see hell back then. Who comes on TV? Pastor Earl Murray. Who put him there? He studied. That's his spot in the many-member body of Christ. Who bought that TV time? How did the message of Christ's love get to me back in 1996? I would have been dead by now. Spiritually dead, obviously. Physically dead, 100%. There he was. Who put him there? His students. Paying into it. Buying TV time. Let's get the message of Christ's love out there to a hurting world. Whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the many-member body of Christ. And now me and Tammy set this up as a registered nonprofit, so that will give you the assurance and peace of mind knowing all provisions provided go to God's purposes, so that we can try and, you know, buy some media time so that we can try and promote. Did you know there's 800 million videos on YouTube? 800 million. And we just blindly upload, and that's only one place. We were on about 15. We got kicked off about 8 platforms so far. You're not allowed to promote Jesus Christ on YouTube. Did you know that was
or, just... Yeah, there's a few sites you are not allowed to advertise or promote your religious content.
But we know what religion means. The Bible tells us religion means following one's own beliefs. So if you believe in rich white man's construct and you want to have a podcast about, oh, we invest in anything as long as there's a return, oh, you can get those videos out there. But when we want to get God's word out there, we need your help. This is your call to action now. Help me and Tammy do more. You be part of it. You know all those people that donated money to Pastor Earl Murray, which included myself after, we get the same rewards as him. It takes the many-member body of Christ to come together to get the message of Christ's love out there to some guy laying there at 3 in the morning staring at a ceiling. I had to look up to see how there it was. As soon as I heard the truth, I knew right away, man. I was searching for it for so long. And there he was because of people just like you. Anyways, let's go here. Whereupon I went to Damascus. Yeah, that's, we're talking about the Word Commission. That's the churchy church commission. Watch these churchy churches today because it's all about money. Follow the money. Are they teaching God's word? Are they using this book as a random book of quotes like an inspirational speaker? Hardly anyone can teach the Bible. We're just finding it. Hardly anybody. Wherefore, as I went to, midday, O king, I saw, by the way, a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. That's because the glory of Jesus Christ outshines the sun. It's called the Shekinah glory. And also remember, this is the third time this story is in the Bible. The third time. So there must be something very in-depth for this to be repeated 3 times, because God has no words to waste. So it doesn't matter who you are. You repent, and I got a job for you to do. Everybody has a job. God has expectations on everybody. Hey, we can't put expectations on God. God has nothing to prove to us. We have everything to prove to God. We put ourselves here, and who God gives much to, he expects much in return. And that includes people that worship their time. That's what we're finding out, right, Tammy? People worship their time. This is my time. I don't have time for the Bible. I don't have time to talk about this right now, Michael. You know, okay. Well, then you explain that to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when you choke back your last breath. Okay, and we pray for everybody. What?
Okay, let's go. Keep teaching.
And when we were fallen, okay, so they all fell down to the earth. Like they went down, right? I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. And he said, Get up. It's just like Job. Stand up. Don't flop around down there like some sideshow. You get up, just like you said to Job. Pull up your pantaloons, Job. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Here's why I'm here. Okay? This isn't some sideshow. Paul, are you listening? To make thee a minister. And we are ministers of fire. We let her rip. And a witness, that's a martyr, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee. How's he appearing to us? When we see these things coming true. Right in front of our face. 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Hey, get out there. It doesn't matter who they are. Whomsoever will. The whole human family. Hey, listen. The most filthy, dirty word in all human language is racism. It doesn't matter your color, your skin, your race, or your gender. We're all children in God's eyes. God wants us. God wants his children back. Okay, it doesn't matter who you are. Gentiles, that just covers the whole human family, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God. Satan has power, believe me. He is the prince of the air right now, Ephesians chapter, I forget, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Salvation is within the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Your inheritance is there. Do you know how to claim it? If you don't want your inheritance, God says, that's fine. I got a place for you. It's called the nether parts of the earth. You'll be comforted there because you can just run your mouth till the sun goes down forever. Your inheritance is in heaven. It's a place of peace. It's beyond our current comprehension. Can you imagine, like, right, Tammy? You know, perpetual friendship, unity, coming to an understanding of others, seeing everybody that you see. You can trust. There's no ulterior motive. There's no guile. There's no malice. There's no corruption. There's no people trying, what's in it for me? How do I benefit off this? How can I use this person? How can I rip this person off? What about my personal wealth, my personal gain? You know, none of that. But if you like that, there's a place for you. And you can enjoy yourself there. That's your total choice. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Yeah, I had no choice, right? But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works that are good for repentance. Here's that word repentance. It's the proper word, metanoia. It means a total change of heart, a change of attitude towards the sin itself. Not because of an aftercare or because of a consequence. We learn that in Matthew chapter 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me. This is what they arrested him for teaching repentance through Jesus Christ. They caught him in the temple and they wanted to kill him. That's nice. That's a church community today. They do it by trying to shut you up. They're killing the truth is what's being said here. Back then, yeah, they want to chop your head off or they want to do whatever. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophet and Moses did say should come. And always remember, the prophets are included. David was a prophet. That includes the Psalms, obviously. And that's written somewhere else. I forget where. I just can't remember at the moment. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. He's the first risen from the dead because he did not sin. That's why. He's the first one alive. And you can be alive through him, through repentance. That's the only way to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And he was thus spake for himself. As Paul was speaking, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Yeah, here comes the clown show, right? You're always going to get a clown like this who wants to run their mouth and try and humiliate or insult somebody. Hey, Festus, who asked you to open your big mouth anyway, right? But he's going to sit there like he's not even the big shot, King Agrippa and Bernice are. But no, he wants to make a funny. Who asked you for your opinion, Festus, right? But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. In other words, I'm not intoxicated with lies and religious-looking ceremonies, Festus, okay? For the king knoweth of these things. Yeah, the king that's sitting right beside you is much more intelligent than you, Festus, and he's got a higher place, right? So you and your little joke there failed. You're an epic fail, Festus. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. The king knows. He's sitting right beside you. And you just tried to compromise everybody. You just tried to humiliate everybody. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. We're not hiding. dude, we're teaching the Bible to whomsoever will, and like we are right now across the internet trying our best, right? And I just love that one. If I can find that spot where Jesus Christ says, or Paul says, hey, man, we did our best. I washed my hands from this. This is all we could do, right? We did our best. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. We did our best. Like, we're trying our best, especially to our family and friends, which nobody seems to care. That's what hurts the most, is knowing that, hey, they just don't care. You can't force someone to love the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's your family now? Your family Israel, the many-member body of Christ. And the people around you right now, they're just exhausted, their caregiver. Well, what can you do? You can't force anybody. Love is an emotion you can't force. Anyways, here, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And I know that. He knows that King Agrippa believes. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, okay, I'm going to read these two verses and we're going to clean them up a little bit because they're a disaster. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So what he's saying, this word almost doesn't belong here. This is how it should say. I wish that we all were not almost, but instead, I wish we were all together Christians right now, all of us in this whole room, even the people that are hating on me, even you, Agrippa, even that mouthpiece Festus there who thinks he's a comedian, right? You know, I wish we were all together as Christians. And then he says, except for these bonds, what is he saying? I wish you guys would loosen these handcuffs. They're killing me, right? That's all that means. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man didn't do anything worthy of death or bonds. He's not even charged with anything. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. Who gave this false information to Agrippa, right? Like, that's BS. Paul had to appeal to Caesar to get out of Jerusalem because they were going to kill him. It's the same government officials. They're never, are they even able to tell the truth? They're not willing to tell the truth. You know, the CIA people, like, they're trained to lie, and they even talk about that. You know, ex-CIA agents, we're trained to lie. Imagine that. We're trained to be
this. Government officials, military officials, they are all trained liars.
Well, let's just go.
That's it.
Daniel chapter 4:17. Daniel 4:17, just to finish it up. I'll put the base people in charge, God says. The base people to teach you that mankind cannot govern themselves. I'm going to put the worst people in charge. Remember, the first shall be the last shall be the first. This is isolated here. We're on a world stage right now, and this is happening on the world stage right now.
Yeah.
The worst people, the first shall be the last shall be the first. You just change that first to worst, and it holds all day long. The worst people that ever existed in the age that was are walking the face of the earth now. Obviously, just look what's going on. Hey, listen, we love you to pieces. If you can help support the Companion Chapel, go to companionchapel.com or email us, companionchapel@gmail.com. I want you to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself a great day, and bye for now.
God bless everybody.